Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to The Weekend. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen. While we don't have a lot of closings and delays, there are a few in the outlying counties, and you can get those anytime at kdkradio.com. Looking forward to get a little and brief break from the deep freeze for the weekend, but we've got this polar vortex coming, Paul.
The two words we've grown to hate.
Polar vortex. You saw the map of everybody in the United States, with few exceptions, are going to feel the chill.
You know, Joe Lundberg said pretty much everyone, what, east of the Rockies? Was that what he said?
East of the Rockies, and then even down into the panhandle of Florida. Maybe.
My goodness.
Just south of there, just south of Tampa.
Didn't down he in, say some snow was possible there?
In the Florida? Panhandle.
My
yeah.
goodness.
At least see it anyways. Meanwhile, we have talked a lot in this city about what do we do with the commercial real estate since COVID, you know, the challenge of getting people back in the offices, the occupancy rates. And so a developer is working to convert someplace that's very famous in Lawrenceville. And joining us from the Pittsburgh Business Times is Tim Schooley. Tim, good morning.
Hello there, Larry. Good talking to you.
You too. Appreciate you coming on. We've heard a lot of talk about this process of finding affordable housing opportunities. So what's going on in Lawrenceville of all places?
Well, the ownership of the Trip by Wyndham Hotel, which was redeveloped out of a former trade school that had been in the neighborhood forever, they had foreclosure filings filed on them in August. And so, and they have like a $16.9 million debt balance with their lender. So that creates a situation where the hotel opened in the middle of 2019, which is never ideal. And it creates a situation in which we have this affordable housing shortage. And a group out of Strip, Hullett Properties, is pitched to convert it into single room occupancy, and there's lots of social media chatter in opposition to it, and some for it, but it's generating a lot of passion here in the neighborhood where I live, actually 6 blocks away from the hotel.
Tim, is this part of the reason why, between that and rising construction costs, but the high demand for these affordable housing units, and then there's this resistance, even zoning, that makes it difficult to? There's so many angles to this. There's so many hurdles for an affordable housing project to clear.
Yeah, and the zoning that the city has and a lot of cities have make it very difficult to build in the first place. And it would be natural for a group to come in to pursue something like this, given the condition of what's happening with the Trip. But there is a hotel owner that a neighbor reached out to, who doesn't want to see the hotel go away, who has expressed willingness to buy it, and actually reached out to the mortgage holder saying, hey, if this doesn't happen, I'm willing to jump in. So we'll see how this unfolds. I don't know.
I'm a lifelong Pittsburgher, Tim, but I never heard of the Trip Hotel in Lawrenceville. It's right before your very eyes.
Yeah, well, it opened when it did was not it was not ideal. I don't know how much marketing they did. It's right there on 40th Street across from the Rite Aid. So it's in the probably one of those most heavily traveled roads into the neighborhood. But it is a boutique brand that maybe not a lot of people are familiar with. The group that is interested in buying the hotel, he kind of trashed the Trip brand. He didn't think it was a good one. I don't know. I don't know if what's happened with the Trip means that a hotel can't succeed there. Obviously, the affordable units, if that happened, would be very much in demand. We'll see how it goes.
Tim, in terms of the pushback on social media that you've been looking at, what's the primary theme and you're hearing? What's the main objection?
There's a number of people that are wary, and the gentleman who lives closest to it has been a real organizer of this, and he's pretty even-handed in the way he talks about it. He's wary of these are very, pretty small hotel rooms, only a couple hundred square feet that we turn into studios. He says they'll be too small. He's wary of near home, and there's a lot of speculation this is going to be a homeless shelter, so that caused some consternation that there'll be homeless people gravitating to this place, and that's been said to not be the case. There's just general resistance to having, you know, very poor folk having to live there, and you know there's resistance to that as there often is. There's actually supporters of it too, though. There's probably less vocal supporters of it on social media than there is, but we'll see what that support, how that unfolds. I don't know.
What's the timeline till we get an answer on whether this is going to happen or not?
Well, there's still, it's funny because this is all unfolded on social media where there's a lot of complaining that there hasn't been enough transparency, but it's still very early. And the community groups expect to host a meeting in the next month or so, but there isn't one scheduled yet. And it's a very, for an affordable housing project, there's so many different levels of subsidy and different levels of approvals to get that it's pretty complicated. So this is going to take a while. And the hotel still operates, which is important to add.
Yeah, absolutely. And since you're a Lawrenceville resident, we've all heard Lawrenceville was the place for a long time, but it's somewhat fished out in terms of people converting the older homes. What is the state of Lawrenceville in general in terms of its vibrancy today?
Oh, I think Lawrenceville still stays pretty healthy. I read the real estate transfers pretty regularly, and then homes are still trading here. I don't know what the broader trends are, but I know it's doing well on my street. I walk up and down Butler Street all the time, and there's some change over here and there, but that's healthy. So I think Lawrenceville's overall health is fine. There's just some people saying that a hotel being turned into a homeless or the affordable housing will ruin the neighborhood, and that's an overstatement. I feel like what happens with this property will be absorbed either way. I don't think it'll be a great change either way, but you know, it'd be a shame to lose the hotel because that was a nice add when it opened.
Well, we'll see where it goes. Thanks for bringing it to light. Have a good weekend.
To you too. Stay warm.
Read all about it, the Pittsburgh Business Times, Tim Schooley. So yeah, Paul, here's what happens, and it's really easy.
Mm-hmm.
We hear this affordable housing all the time.
Yes.
But then when it comes down to it, this is what happens where you get people in that area. Oh, we don't want affordable housing here.
Not in my backyard.
Exactly.
Can you imagine how difficult it must be to be a developer in this town?
construction overall is just such a challenging field. And then if you're a consumer trying to get things done, it's even more challenging.
No kidding.
And forget about deadline. You got to be on your full alert at all times because of the electronics, and people now more and more obviously linking bank accounts to, you know, when you're paying bills electronically and credit cards.
I heard a piece of advice that I'm going to start taking. I'm going to stop paying bills with my debit card. I'm going to move all of that over to credit.
Well, if you,
for that very reason,
if you do that, then here's what I've been told. You seek out that credit card that pays you back the most.
Right.
Some give you 1-2% on purchases. And then the reason, and you bring up an excellent point, if your debit card gets compromised, it leads directly to your bank account.
It's a gold mine.
And while the banks have been, from all reports, very good about mitigating this cyber crime and returning money that may have been taken, it's a process that takes a lot longer. In a credit card, it's a much simpler process to challenge fraudulent charges. So you bring up a very good point. Use your debit card when you need cash for yourself, ATM, or some extraordinarily trustworthy vendor that you utilize all the time.
I think that's great advice, and I'm going to take it.
So, but these card skimmers, I know they're giving us a heads up, but how do you know? How many times have you just pulled up to a gas station and you don't even think about it?
It's one of the reasons I'm so interested in this story, because exactly what happened with me, that I was not thinking about skimmers at all when I was making purchases yesterday, and now it's on in my mind. I'm going to be looking again. But you forget after a while, you know? You forget the possibilities there. You know, and sometimes they're so well disguised you can't tell.
And you have to remain vigilant. Now, many people have been compromised in an email with a company with some type of personal information, and you're notified by the company that this is an issue. You're recommended to change passwords frequently or change a password that's in a pool of known issues, right?
So yes, exactly.
The idea, though, is to do that on your own, which, you know, you got to be consistent and do it and check your purchases, which is a pain for a lot of people, but it's a pain that could save you a lot of money.
Absolutely right.
Meanwhile, skimmed, scammed, you know, people need a break. That's why we mentioned tomorrow they have Pirates Fest. You want to think spring? That's a good thing to do at the convention center.
Yeah, not only get away from the toxic culture, but also get away from the awful weather.
Well, you got a double header over there at the convention center because it's the last weekend of the RV
show. That's right.
So you could go to both, kick the tires. Do you see some of those RVs?
They're amazing.
You know, you want to get in one right now and go south, as far south as you could go. Next weekend at the convention center, it's the Pittsburgh Travel Showcase presented by AAA Travel. That's the 24th through the 26th. It's one-stop shopping. If you want to do anything related to travel, you can meet travel representatives. You can book your next vacation right there on the spot. They have discounts that are exclusive to the show. Expert destination speakers to talk about great places you might want to visit. Motor coach trips, a travel store for any budget, even if it's just a short motor coach ride to, say, Gettysburg or some other destination place.
You know, 20 years ago, my father did the RV thing. Sold his home, got an RV.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. And for several years, he traveled around the country. It was nice to see him every once in a while. He'd pop in where I was living at the time in New Orleans. And that was before these things turned into what they are now, rolling palaces with every conceivable feature.
Do you remember what he had? What kind of RV?
Oh, gee.
It wasn't one of those. The Airstreams.
No, no. It was a RV where you drive the, you know, like the old Rainbow Machine.
We got to bring that back.
Yeah.
We got to make a deal with Randy Giancola down there.
But I can't remember what, you know, what make it was. There's so many of them now.
Come on, Randy. We got this. Let's do it. The new version of a, you know, traveling road show. We could do that. I'm in.
Yeah.
By the way, you can go to PittsburghTravelShowcase.com for details. And we'll check in with Marty in our 9 o'clock hour. He had a fascinating conversation with United States Senator John Fetterman yesterday. We'll follow up on that. Meanwhile, there are a few closings and delays. You can go to KDKRadio.com, see the entire list at any time, and all of those are out of the immediate Allegheny County area. It's been a long time since Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto really jump-started putting bike lanes in the city of Pittsburgh. He took a lot of criticism for that, and he has left. That's one of his legacies, though. There are bike lanes everywhere in the city, and there's a project, and has been, that the bike share program, POGOH, P-O-G-O-H, will add something new. And joining us from the Pittsburgh Business Times, Jake Dabkowski, who you can see on our video link at kdkradio.com, presented by Metropolitan Window Company. Jake, good morning.
Good morning. So yeah, so Carnegie Mellon will be getting, not necessarily directly Carnegie Mellon, but they will be leading a project that's backed by $1 million from the federal government, where POGOH will be putting e-cargo bikes. So they're electric bikes that also have cargo space for delivery drivers. And the goal is for delivery drivers who use services like either Uber Eats or DoorDash to be using them as an alternative method of transportation. And then the project's not just giving the bikes out, but seeing how are they using them and how can we allocate funding to deploy these elsewhere.
How do you see them being used around campus and in that vicinity?
I believe they'll be deployed beyond Carnegie Mellon. That area obviously has a lot of bike lanes already, and there are a lot of hills. Students drive DoorDash. They're a common workforce. I did it when I was in college. And if you don't have a car, it does give an opportunity for students to participate, so to speak, to work for DoorDash and make a little extra money.
So you actually did this for a period of time with your car?
Not with e-cargo, but I did do it with my car in 2020 and 2021. Yeah. On not all the time, not like full time, but it was like supplemental.
Does that pay good money? Yeah. Can you make a few good bucks doing that? Just curious.
People tipped very, very, very generously in 2020 during the pandemic.
Right.
And I think that gave me false expectations going into post-pandemic door dashing, how much people would be tipping.
Yeah, that makes sense. We're with Jake Dabkowski with the Pittsburgh Business Times. That said, do you know how the program overall, these bikes, I see them around town on those bike stands. How is the project going? Before e-cargo.
Yeah, I can really only speculate. Especially on the city's bike efforts. I know obviously there has been a big push. I don't have specific numbers for POGOH, so I don't want to speculate. You know what I mean?
Okay. They're going to add these this year?
It looks like it. It depends on how quickly they get the funds. Really all that we know so far is that they'll be doing the funds and that they'll be partnering with a laboratory in Idaho and a renewable energy laboratory in Colorado to analyze, because the more boring part of this is that there is a huge data analytics side of it, of seeing where are people charging these. Where should we be putting chargers for these? Because POGOH has some electric bikes, but not all of their bikes are electric. And not every stand, like you mentioned, is equipped with charging capabilities. So they can't necessarily charge them at every station. So it's where do we deploy chargers to?
So let's fast forward then, Jake, to the day when these e-cargo bikes are available. How would I get a hold of one and use it for an afternoon?
Yeah, I would assume through POGOH. They have a application. I used to check them out occasionally in school, and the app worked pretty fluidly for me. I did have some issues when I would try to use the, because you can just punch your information in on the side of them, but I would just assume it would be loaded in through the app.
Well, it's interesting, and there's always, it seems like, a CMU connection with anything cool that's going on around the city. E-cargo bikes, read all about it, Pittsburgh Business Times. Jake Dabkowski, appreciate your time this morning. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah, man,
you got it. Thanks, you as well.
Check out The Drive at 5. These are the top stories driving the news every weekday afternoon at 5 p.m. Brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh. Demand the yellow van. This weekend, you know, I feel a little strange, Paul, because there's no Steelers playoff game. You know, we went through last Saturday and all the acrimony that followed through Mike Tomlin's press conference and then cleaning out the lockers for the players, and, you know, things have died down a little bit for the moment. But that said, curious, who do you root for then in the NFL? Who would you like to see win the Super Bowl?
Oh, that's a great question. Who would I like to see?
Well, who I don't want to see, and not for any particular reason.
Well, I guess would be Baltimore would be at the top of the list for me.
Really?
Yeah. Who I don't want to see.
Oh.
But yeah. I would love to see the Bills finally win one. That would be awesome.
I'd be okay with the Bills. Remember, they went through that four seasons where they went to the Super Bowl four consecutive years in a row and came up short.
Just awful.
Which prompted that, we mentioned Ace Ventura earlier, laces out the one field goal miss in their first Super Bowl that would have given them the win over the Giants. So let's see. I'm rooting for the Detroit Lions.
Well, me too.
Or the Bills.
In the NFC, it's the Lions, and I would love to see a Lions-Bills Super Bowl.
We've been through Kansas City. All right, they seem like nice people. Thanks for coming. We need somebody new in there now.
Yeah. You know, it's all about Pat Mahomes. You know, they lost their top receiver. Tyreek Hill went down to Miami. And while the Kansas City offense in this past year hasn't been as productive as it has been in the past, they're still winning. And they've got a really good defense. So getting through, and they've got an easy first opponent. I guess it's not a very good term to use, easy, when we're talking about the divisional playoffs. I mean, the Texans are a pretty good team, but I would think that they're the most beatable team of the group that's left.
Yeah, so Sunday night is the biggie. That is the Ravens at the Bills in Buffalo, Tatanka.
And what might be the better game, by the way, of the two, the Rams-Eagles game on that on the 19th. That might be a really entertaining game. Could be a shootout.
Aaron, do you care who wins the Super Bowl? Are you going to pay attention at all?
Not really. I'm going to pay attention, but I don't have a strong preference. I like the Bills, though.
All right. We'll see what happens. From the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center, AAA traffic powered by Bowser Genesis in Monroeville. Ellen, as you know, once the Steelers are eliminated, it changes the whole feng shui for the weekend.
I know. Like, oh, really?
I think that guy that's accused of stealing 25 terrible towels from Giant Eagle.
Yeah.
Up in Cranberry. He did it right before the game last Saturday. Now,
was it worth it, dude? Really?
I don't think so.
Probably not. Yeah, just saying. All right. Well, this rush hour is certainly getting heavier as the minutes go by. 51 northbound, the ride there getting a little bit rough as you pass the intersection with Route 88 Library Road. And then you have backups again as you approach Nobles Lane and Whited Street. As you get closer to the Liberty Tunnels, it's actually not too tough. Just a traffic light delay past Bowsman as you make that right turn into the Liberty Tunnels. West Liberty Avenue is now backing right around between Brookside and where you line up with Pioneer Avenue. Parkway West inbound is stacking at the top of the hill. Parkway East is at Wilkinsburg now. 28 southbound heavy from the 40th Street Bridge down past the 31st. Our next AAA traffic on the fives at 7:55. I'm Ellen Gamble on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA.
And we're looking at a high of 35 today. 30 now, and you'll notice the difference if you haven't been outside yet. As soon as you step out, you're like, okay, it's not biting bitter cold. No, that'll come Monday with a high of 8. So enjoy 40 tomorrow. We should see some sunshine today. And again, 30 at Pittsburgh International Airport. 7:50 at News Radio KDKA from the Goldberg Persky and White News Desk. Let's get the latest with Paul Rasmussen.
Well, the latest is going to be about TikTok and the future of TikTok. There are new developments in this story. We'll tell you what's happening coming up at 8. And Larry, right after the newscast at 8, you have a special guest concerning the same topic.
Yeah, he's a young man from Pittsburgh that started putting videos out and has nearly 3 million followers on TikTok.
And he's from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You'll get his take coming up.
When the weather turns bad like it has all week, make sure you tune in for the KDK Radio Storm Center, brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh Demand, the Yellow Van, and Butler Transit Authority. What's going on this weekend is the focus for a lot of people just to get out of the house. Cabin fever started early this season, I think, with the extreme temperatures, and tomorrow may be a good day just to get out and do something. I recommend Pirates Fest.
Absolutely.
And
with the weather the way it's going to be next week, this weekend, it's imperative that you get out because no one's going to want to be out on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
I know. So we did check the temperatures. If you happen to be going to the inauguration, and a lot of people from this region, because of its proximity and they want to be there for a historical moment, it is going to be cold. The forecasted high in Washington, not as bad as single digits here, but still 11 degrees in the morning, and then the high will be 23, though it should be sunny, which would make a big difference if you're seated outside.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go to a Steeler game like that, right? Just wear your Steelers gear. Go if you're going.
Good idea.
And that we will cover, obviously, that here on KDK. It coincides this year, Inauguration Day, with the federal holiday, so most people will have, if not the whole day off, part of the day off on Monday for the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. recognition. So meanwhile, we're looking at the temperatures here of 8 as a high on Monday. At KDKA from the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center. AAA traffic powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville. Ellen Gamble is taking a look.
Taking a look with those PennDOT cameras out over the area roads. It's nice to see a non a weather impact day, I guess is the way to say it. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have the delays, and they are certainly there for you on 28 southbound. You're heavy past Millvale, all the way down past the exits to the north side, East Street, Chestnut Street ramps there. Parkway West inbound, no accidents or delays, disabled vehicles in your way, rather, but it is stacking just after you crest the top of Green Tree Hill. Parkway East inbound, solid lineup for you now at the Wilkinsburg Interchange as you make your way into those Squirrel Hill tunnels. So the Parkway North, I-279 is rolling well. Most of the same kind of story for you on 65 southbound approaching the Rocks Bridge. Our next AAA traffic on the fives at 8:05. I'm Ellen Gamble on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA.
And we are looking at 35 today, 40 tomorrow, then a little bit of snow on Sunday with a high of 23. And we mentioned Monday's high, 8. And right now we're at 30 degrees at Pittsburgh International Airport.